Hey everyone, and welcome to this soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast. My name's Patrick Gray, and this isn't the regular weekly show. Soapbox is the podcast we do where vendors pay to appear to talk about big picture stuff or really anything they want. You can think of these podcasts as like keynote interviews, that sort of thing. And this one is actually an out-of-band soapbox edition. We actually sold out of soapbox sponsorships for 2018 months ago. But then Google's parent company, Alphabet, announced it was spinning off a new startup called Chronicle in the field of security. They approached us and said, hey, you know, we're a new security company. We think we're going to be a big deal and we'd like to do one of those. And given the interest around Chronicle, it would have just been insane for me to say no. So here it is, a special bonus edition of the Soapbox Podcast. Now, unless you've been living under a rock lately, you would know that Alphabet has indeed announced the spin-off of an enterprise information security arm. They've called it Chronicle, but beyond that, it's all a bit mysterious. Unlike other startups that stay super stealth until they launch their products, Alphabet basically realized that as it already has its platform out there under beta test with a bunch of organizations, the existence of the company was going to leak eventually, and that would have been a bit of a mess from Alphabet's point of view. So their solution was to announce the company before it was ready to ship its product, which is a little bit unconventional, but they're not really a conventional startup. Now, I'd love to tell you that they're going to drop all of the juicy details in this podcast, but they're not, unfortunately. They'll drop some hints, but for now, Chronicle's mystery platform will remain that, a mystery. But that's not to say there isn't other stuff to talk about. As part of the spin-off, VirusTotal is now a part of Chronicle. And you know what? There is a lot more to VirusTotal, in particular VirusTotal Intelligence, than I realized, and probably more than a lot of you realized as well. And that's partly because, you know, VirusTotal hasn't really done much marketing. And this podcast is kind of a first step down that path. So in this podcast, you're going to hear from two people, Rick Karcher, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of Chronicle, and he's mostly chiming in to explain a little bit about the new company. And then we'll hear from Mike Wysak, who is the CISO and co-founder of Chronicle. He's going to be telling us about all of the features of VirusTotal that you probably didn't realize exist. For example, did you know that if you have a VirusTotal intelligence account, you can run Yara rules against everything that comes into VirusTotal, and you can apply those rules retrospectively to see what shakes out, and that they have graph and clustering features, and you get the idea. So kicking off this podcast is Rick Karcher, who explains what Chronicle is all about. Enjoy.
You know, our goal was to take knowledge and techniques used to secure Google itself, combine them with some of the core underlying Google infrastructure components, and create a new platform for helping customers, basically enterprise customers, get better intelligence about their own networks. We have people from Google engineering, as well as many of us from the security industry itself. And as we announced in January, there's basically two separate parts to Chronicle, the company. The first is VirusTotal, which is one of the world's largest malware intelligence services. It's based on a community of antivirus vendors, security companies, enterprises, academia, and individual users. And Google bought VirusTotal in 2012, and now it's part of Chronicle. We think it's the best home for VirusTotal to continue its mission, and that mission is going to continue unchanged. Separate from VirusTotal, the second part of Chronicle is a new platform that we're building. And while we announced the existence of the Chronicle company, we really didn't announce much about the new platform. It's still in early testing with a set of large enterprise companies. So when it's ready to launch, we'll give you more details, and we're happy to come back here and do that. But since we're not there yet, today we wanted to talk a little bit more about VirusTotal.
Okay, so there's a platform, right? But like, we don't even know what platform category this is. Is it a threat intelligence play? Is it a detection play? Is it a prevention play? Is it an automation play? Like, we don't know anything about it. Is there any sort of, and I understand that you're all keeping it under wraps, right? I get that. But is there any sort of nudge in one direction or another you can give us right now?
I think the most I can say right now, just sort of being conservative under the Alphabet direction, is it's in the area of security intelligence, collecting information, using automation to make sense of it, and help customers use that to understand what's going on. That's really all I comfortable saying.
No,
right
that
now.
Look, that makes sense, right? And that's kind of where I, you know, my gut told me that was where this would be heading in the first place, right? Which is why I made that thing, you know, sent out that tweet saying it was Chronicle could be a meteor aimed at Planet Threat Intel, right? Because you guys have a lot of very, very good info, and I, you know, I'm fortunate enough to know some people who work at Google defending internal resources, and they're very, very good. And I know they've got some great tools and really know how to use that information. Mike Wysek, you're also joining us. You've been at Google for a very long time. And, you know, VirusTotal has now been spun off into Chronicle. And I'm guessing that the VirusTotal data set is going to play a pretty important role in whatever new platform Chronicle is building. That said, VirusTotal already does a lot more than people realize. And this is something that since you formed Chronicle, or since the steps were taken to form Chronicle, you've realized that there's actually pretty poor awareness about what you can do with VirusTotal already. Is that right?
Yeah, I totally think that's the case. I can't lie. I've worked with the VirusTotal team for a long time. And they're based out there in Malaga, Spain, and they are a fantastic, brilliant team. And sometimes when I go out there and visit them, they'll sit down and say, "Hey, Mike, let me show you this." And I'm like, "I didn't know VirusTotal could do that." And it's absolutely, it's super exciting because it's a product that moves so quickly and has just so much functionality that, you know, even I don't always get to know about.
Yeah, and I mean, you're the boss over there, right? So that is pretty fast moving. I didn't know a great deal about VirusTotal beyond the basics before I started preparing for this podcast. But just even taking a poke around the website, you know, I just saw some features there that I didn't realize were there. One that really caught my eye is that you can actually create your own Yara rules and apply them to everything that comes into VirusTotal. Is that right, or have I misread that?
No, that's absolutely the case. We wanted to talk about a bunch of things like that people aren't familiar with, and that's called malware hunting. It's a component of VirusTotal Intelligence, which is our commercial platform that's built on top of VirusTotal. And I can totally jump into that if we want to right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that one in particular really caught my eye, because I can imagine there's a lot of listeners out there that, you know, who might be dealing with certain threat groups, right? And they want to collect more intelligence on what those groups are up to. And I imagine a few custom Yara rules that get you visibility into everything coming into VirusTotal would come in somewhat handy.
So let's talk about VirusTotal Intelligence first, and then we can get into some of these functionalities there, because I think that would give a good background to understand how they all fit together.
Sure, shoot.
Okay, cool. So, you know, it's a good way to think of VirusTotal Intelligence as like a combination of Google and Facebook, but applied to malware. It's kind of like Google, because VirusTotal Intelligence at the core is like a search engine. And with that, you can use as many different search modifiers as you wish to go over there and hunt down malware in the, you know, billion file plus corpus. You can search things like binary properties, metadata extracted from files, in the wild reports, all sorts of features like that. But now I also say it's kind of like Facebook, because for every file in the corpus, there's essentially like a profile page, just like a Facebook profile. It shows you key information. How does this particular file relate to other samples? What type of runtime behaviors does it have when it's run in the sandbox? What other sorts of signals and metadata have we been able to extract from it? You obviously have AV results. And then there's also a whole bunch of crowdsourced information from security analysts who provide commentary on files. So, like, altogether, these types of tools allow you to understand how a piece of malware functions at, like, the macroscopic level. You know, where is it being seen in the world? Where is it being submitted from? But then also at the microscopic level, you know, what does it do when it's actually being executed on an individual machine? These types of tools help you understand how malware is evolving, understand how the community is responding to them, as you can see how AV detections for a particular sample change over time. We do a whole bunch of analysis in part of VirusTotal Intelligence to extract a whole lot of information that's only available within VTI, such as, say, for a PDF file, we'll run PDF ID and we'll index the metadata that we extract from that. You know, perhaps a PDF contains JavaScript or invalid cross-reference sections. For JPEG, we can extract EXIF data to understand, you know, what software was used to generate this particular JPEG. And if an attacker or a malware author consistently uses the same tools, you can probably try and piece some of that together. We correlate new samples with old samples in the corpus. If we see a file alone today, but then later we see that file in a cab file, we understand that there's a parent-child relationship between those two files, and that helps you hunt down things better.
So it really is about taking that big view, and it just makes so much sense that essentially what Google's turned VirusTotal into is a tool for navigating a huge data set, because that's kind of Google's core business, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely trying to understand how all this fits together and how you can search through this corpus to identify files that pose a threat to like your organization, or if you're a security vendor, understand, you know, what actually poses an opportunity for your product to ultimately succeed in the market.
Yeah, and I mean, it is interesting that everything that triggers, I find it really interesting that the AV companies all cooperate with VirusTotal, because, you know, something people might not know is, you know, if you send a sample to VirusTotal and one scanner picks it up, VirusTotal generates a rule and basically spits it out, or a signature, and spits it out to all of the other participating AV companies, right? So this is a way that once it goes to VirusTotal, everyone kind of knows about it.
Definitely. It's a way to actually increase the safety tide for all people on the internet. It's to try and actually facilitate that opportunity to share information, because everyone's always talking about sharing information, but VirusTotal is one of those key things that actually allows that to happen at a very impressive scale.
One interesting thing that I've often wanted to ask someone at Google about is, you know, we often hear about how people with VirusTotal intelligence logins can go diving through, you know, corporate information that, you know, it might be some people will configure their mail gateways to automatically upload semi-suspicious files to VirusTotal, and those things then live on in VirusTotal, which means that some people who are outside of that organization might stumble across them and, you know, obtain information that way. Is Google doing anything to address that? Although I think the coverage of that as a threat has been massively overblown, I can still understand why some people might have some concerns about that.
Definitely. It's one of those things that our terms of service, we explicitly say we do not want you to send private personal data to VirusTotal. And then if there is mistaken uploads and so forth, we have a practice and policy in place to go over and help do what we can to remediate those on a case-by-case basis.
Now, that Yara rule stuff that I was speaking about earlier, that falls into the category, you know, as far as VirusTotal is concerned, it falls into the malware hunting category. And often, you know, this is a whole field, the malware hunting field, that has recently become very sort of trendy and popular. But it looks like what you can do here with VirusTotal is actually pretty much all you need is an account and off you go, because you've got access to such a huge data set. But what I didn't realize, and what I think is cool, is that you can actually monitor for new types of files coming in from anywhere into VirusTotal, so that you might be looking for a previously undetected variant of something that's targeting you or things like that. Like, how does this work and what's it good for?
Yeah, so you mentioned Yara. Yara, if for people who aren't familiar with it, is an open source language and library written by one of the VirusTotal engineers. It's kind of a de facto standard, and it's a language that lets you write your own malware signatures and then scan files to see if they match whatever rules you've written. Malware hunting is basically taking Yara and applying it to the fire hose of files that VT receives, over a million files a day. So for example, like, let's suppose we write a malware rule in Yara that says any file that contains the string evilhost.com is between 512 kilobytes and a megabyte and is a Windows executable file, matches this rule. Now, I can use Yara to scan a file on my local machine, but if I put that rule into malware hunting on VirusTotal Intelligence, I have now every file that gets uploaded to VirusTotal from that point forward is scanned by my private signature, and I can get a notification that says a particular file with some SHA-256 hash actually matches that rule.
Well, I mean, you say you can do it, you know, from that point onwards, but you can also do it retrospectively, right?
Absolutely. I like to use the phrase that, like, malware hunting is like throwing a net into the river, and any fish that are coming from upstream, I'm going to catch, but any fish that are already downstream, I'm not going to. So we have a capability called Retro Hunt, which is like malware hunting, but applied backwards in time. So you can go back and see what happened historically. This was used by quite a few researchers after, say, Stuxnet was discovered. People were able to go back and look through the VirusTotal data set and find components of Stuxnet that had been there for years. But at that point in time, nobody knew that they were malicious or what they were components of. So as malware authors' techniques change and detection capabilities evolve, being able to go back in time and understand how malware has gotten to the state where it is today is actually pretty powerful.
One thing that I'm quite surprised about, and I expect this to change now that Rick Kachia is involved, is the lack of sort of trend reports that we see coming from VirusTotal. Given that your visibility into malware is probably, well, you know, I'd put solid money on it being unparalleled. I'm kind of surprised that we don't see that sort of collateral spinning out from VirusTotal. But are there any interesting trends that you've got an eye on that you can share with us?
I don't think I have anything prepared right now that I can actually go into, to be honest.
See, but this is my point, right? Because like the typical marketing approach from anyone is they might just do an analysis on one malware family, and then there's a big report, or an AV company might, you know, pump out a stats report. But, you know, VirusTotal just doesn't do this.
Yeah, Patrick, it's Rick. You're right. Historically, they haven't done this. And this is one of those areas that we think we can give a lot of, you know, useful value to users by wrapping some of these things into reports and white papers. The first of those is just about ready. It's actually got some of the top new use cases. If people want to send an email to info@virustotal.com, we'll send them that white paper and we'll put that up on the website as well. You can expect going forward to see a lot more interesting trends coming out of VT than you've seen before.
Now, something that's a little bit more recent, a recent feature is VirusTotal Graph, which to me looks like, you know, it's kind of a Multigo-inspired interface for VirusTotal where you can sort of build up profiles and it's got, you know, really nice visualization aspects to it. Can you tell us about VirusTotal Graph, you know, where it came from, what it does, who's using it?
Yeah, so VT Graph is basically, it just allows you to visualize all the relationships between samples, infrastructure, and metadata that VTI knows about from the files that we scan, and then easily see how things are related. For years, I did threat intel work for Google. And, you know, basically, this was my workflow. You know, you would open up a profile for every malware sample. I'd have dozens of tabs open. I cut and paste information into like a spreadsheet or some master document, and then try and understand what's related and what's not. And, you know, for anyone who's done any work like that, it really sucks. So Graph is an attempt to try and make that easy. You know, I can look at a bunch of samples. I can paste a bunch of hashes into Graph, see them all plotted, and then see the connections they have with different network infrastructure, and just finding their command and control host names and so on and so forth. And so I'm going to find stuff visually that just stands out. You know, if I have 200 samples and I see them plotted in something like this Graph UI, I can see that they all have some common infrastructure on which they rely. Before Graph, you know, people literally had to copy and paste this stuff into docs and spreadsheets or build custom tools. But with Graph, it allows me to build that whole threat map all at once. Now, making maps might be fun for, you know, adventure games, but not for threat hunting, right? It's a tedious side effect of what you're actually trying to get. So Graph really increases your productivity and your accuracy. The productivity is much higher because tedious manual steps are eliminated, and completeness is higher since manual analysis may miss links between things. Now, since Graph is pulling from our live database, as new samples are received and processed by VirusTotal, the graph is showing you things that are fresh, and it essentially never really goes stale.
So does it work a little bit like Multigo in that, you know, you can kind of, you know, right click and run transforms or operations to say, you know, group these by the email address, you know, show me other samples that are linked to the email address, linked to the domain registration for this C2 box? Is it that sort of level of construction for your graphs?
Yeah, so not today. Today, what you're basically seeing is, say, samples. So hashes associated with behaviors that we extract from sandbox reports. We have a service, a feature of VirusTotal Intelligence, which we did not talk about yet, called In the Wild. So as we scan URLs and websites, we will obviously find files available for download, with which we will store the hashes of those files. So we will know where particular files may come from in the wild. So you'll see references like this file was available from download from this URL. But what we're working on is adding other graph node types, as you kind of suggested, understanding like scripts, attacker, victim, being able to cluster a whole bunch of things into the notion of a campaign so that this can become more of a workflow tool for people doing threat intelligence.
Yeah. And so who's actually, so it's squarely aimed at the DFIR and, you know, threat intelligence market.
I mean, you can use it for almost anything, right? Like some people will use it for, tracking spam campaigns and stuff like that, if you really wanted to. But right now, I think the people who are getting the most use of it are people who are in the DFIR and threat intelligence market.
You're just being way too efficient with this. Do you know what I mean? Because normally there's tangents, right? And I get to ask questions based on the tangents, so, but you're just like... Well,
let me give you a tangent if you want to ask.
Yeah, sure.
So one of the things that we also do is we do our own clustering of all of the files that we receive. So we get like over 1 million files a day. And with our own in-house developed clustering, what we actually find out is somewhere between 40 and 60% of those 1 million files we get a day come from the same 200 clusters.
And that is interesting, right? So that, I mean, right here, we're talking to that thing that I mean, this is one of my favorite topics, which is that, you know, ownership of badness on the internet is a lot more concentrated than people perhaps realize.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When we break stuff, this malware down into like these 200 clusters, it allows a lot of really interesting stuff to happen. And that's one of the things that we want to add to Graph. That's a feature that it's not ready yet, but I'm kind of pre-announcing it here, is that you'll be able to graph behaviors of clusters and not just individual samples. So when you find a new anomaly or a new sample, you can see, does it map to one of these known clusters? And we expect that to be a very powerful tool as well.
You're kind of looking for the Kaiser Soze's of the internet, right?
Always.
Yeah, great. You know, I've really avoided using these words until now, but I'm guessing that a lot of this clustering is backed by machine learning.
Nope, not going to talk about how the clustering works. but you know what? I will do you a favor and I won't use those words in this interview.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. We love to hear use cases and case studies of how this stuff's actually used. Unfortunately, you know, where a lot of security companies fall down is their use cases and their, you know, tend to only apply to the Fortune 100, right? But I'm hoping you can tell me here where, you know, give me some good use cases here that will really prick up the ears of a lot of the enterprise listeners listening who may not be within the Fortune 100 and have a giant team. What can you tell me?
Yeah, so let's talk about banking Trojans, just because it's not like in the APT world, and it's actually an area where it actually causes a lot of a loss and crime.
This is what I'd call bread and butter infosec, right? This is where we're comfortable.
So let's jump into the financial world. You know, banking Trojans, by and large, you know, they're designed to steal credentials from users. And then, you know, and I think this is actually from a technical point of view, sometimes really interesting, is like they will even live in the browser so that if a victim goes to view their online account statement, the transactions where money was wired away just don't show up. And this causes a lot of problems, right? People lose access to money. Financial institutions, they look like they've been compromised when in fact they've not been compromised. And they may end up suffering a loss of having to repay their customer for the money that was lost in the first place because of regulations. So this, like, how can VTI help this bank? Even if it's a small neighborhood bank, I think VTI can actually help them quite a bit. So let's suppose the bank's incident response team uses Virus Total Intelligence to search and identify samples of banking Trojans. You know, VTI allows that analyst to search using labels. You know, show me all the samples tagged by AV as password stealers. Show me those that modify the system host file. Show me those that contain strings related to financial institutions. Anything along those lines. Maybe that same person also follows AV company's blogs and they consume IOCs from those posts. They can take all that data, create their own Yara rules, and use malware hunting so that they're notified in real time as new samples show up. They leverage RetroHunt to understand what has happened in the past. Now that they have like all of this data, the samples, the banks can adapt their defenses to break how those Trojans work. If they're, say, parsing their online statements responses, they can change the structure of that such that the Trojan won't work anymore. They can work with antivirus to make sure that they increase the detection rates. As the Trojans continue to evolve, because we all know this is a perpetual cat and mouse game, the hunting capability will help the bank track that evolution and evolving kind.
That's really interesting. I mean, I'd never thought of that as an idea of like spotting a man in browser, so-called man in browser Trojan, and then just changing the way that your statements render to basically make it ineffective, just to break it.
Yeah, no, there's all sorts of things you can do. And the beautiful thing about that is it's not sophisticated at all, but it actually would be pretty successful. So there's a lot of opportunity there just to take a little bit of a different approach and have a multiple effect on your security research. You know, the advanced searching, hunting, clustering, and graphing capabilities are super powerful today. And you know, I'm very confident in saying I think they're only going to get better as time goes on. We try and give security teams, you know, a way to quickly and deeply understand how malware, not only how it functions within a machine, but also how that's working in the world. You know, try and understand, you know, is this happening just within a particular geographic region, and really give people the tools that they can try and get ahead of how malware may infect them.
Yeah.
We find a lot of people just don't know about a lot of these capabilities. Like I said, I'm still surprised sometimes. So, you know, this is a good chance to try and get out there and let people know what's available. You know, it's one of those things, if anyone is interested in anything that we talked about, you can definitely reach out to us at info@virustotal.com.
Excellent. All right. Well, I might just tie it off there. I'll say, okay, Mike Wysak, thank you very much for joining us. Rick Karcher, you too. Thanks a lot for joining us to give us some hints about where Chronicle is actually going with its platform, as well as to tell us what you're already doing through VirusTotal, because, it's a lot more than just checking things against, the industry's scanners. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
That was Rick Karcher and Mike Wysak there from Alphabet's new company, Chronicle. I do hope you enjoyed hearing about some of the stuff you can do with VirusTotal Intelligence. And I didn't know you could do all of that stuff. So yeah, that is it for this edition of Soapbox. Until next week's weekly show, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.